That
night, we anchored in a woody bay, and sleep no more around us dared to hover than when all doubt and fear had passed away. It shades the couch of some unresting lover, whose heart is now at rest. Thus night passed over in mutual joy. Around, a forest grew of poplars and dark oaks, whose shade did cover the waning stars, pranked in the waters blue, and trembled in the wind which from the morning flew. The joyous mariners and each free maiden now brought from the deep forest many a bough, with woodland spoil most innocently laden. Soon wreaths of budding foliage seemed to flow over the mast and sails. The stern and prow were canopied with blooming boughs. The while on the slant sun's path o'er the waves we go rejoicing, like the dwellers of an isle doomed to pursue those waves that cannot cease to smile. The many ships, spotting the dark blue deep with snowy sails, fled fast as ours came nigh in fear and wonder. And on every steep thousands did gaze. They heard the startling cry, like Earth's own voice lifted unconquerably to all her children, the unbounded mirth, the glorious joy of thy name, Liberty. They heard, as o'er the mountains of the earth from peak to peak leap on the beams of morning's birth, so from that cry over the boundless hills sudden was caught one universal sound, like a volcano's voice, whose thunder fills remotest skies. Such glorious madness found a path through human hearts, with stream which drowned its struggling fears and cares. Dark customs brewed. They knew not whence it came, but felt around a wide contagion poured. They called aloud on Liberty, that name lived on the sunny flood. We reached the port. Alas, from many spirits the wisdom which had waked that cry was fled, like the brief glory which dark heaven inherits from the false dawn, which fades ere it is spread upon the night's devouring darkness shed. Yet soon bright day will burst, even like a chasm of fire, to burn the shrouds outworn and dead which wrap the world, a wide enthusiasm to cleanse the fevered world, as with an earthquake's spasm. I walked through the great city then, but free from shame or fear. Those toil-worn mariners and happy maidens did encompass me, and like a subterranean wind that stirs some forest among caves, the hopes and fears from every human soul A murmur strange made as I passed, and many wept with tears of joy and awe, and winged thoughts did range, and half-extinguished words which prophesied of change. For with strong speech I tore the veil that hid nature and truth and liberty and love, as one who from some mountain's pyramid points to the unrisen sun. The shades approve his truth and flee from every stream and grove. Thus gentle thoughts did many a bosom fill. Wisdom, the mail of tried affections wove for many a heart, and tameless scorn of ill. Thrice steeped in molten steel, the unconquerable will. Some said I was a maniac, wild and lost. Some, that I scarce had risen from the grave, the prophet's virgin bride, a heavenly ghost. Some said I was a fiend from my weird cave, who had stolen human shape, and o'er the wave, the forest, and the mountain came. Some said I was the child of God, sent down to save women from bonds and death, and on my head the burden of their sins would frightfully be laid. But soon my human words found sympathy in human hearts, the purest and the best, as friend with friend made common cause with me, and they were few, but resolute. The rest, ere yet success the enterprise had blessed, leagued with me in their hearts. Their meals, their slumber, their hourly occupations were possessed by hopes which I had armed to overnumber those hosts of meaner cares which life's strong wings encumber. But chiefly women, whom my voice did waken from their cold, careless, willing slavery, sought me. One truth their dreary prison has shaken. They looked around, and lo, they became free. There are many tyrants sitting desolately in slave-deserted halls, could none restrain. For wrath's red fire had withered in the eye whose lightning once was death. Nor fear, nor gain could tempt one captive now to lock another's chain. Those who were sent to bind me wept and felt their minds outsore the bonds which clasped them round. Even as a waxen shape may waste and melt in the white furnace, and a visioned swooned, a pause of hope and awe the city bound, which, like the silence of a tempest's birth, when in its awful shadow it has wound the sun, the wind, the ocean, and the earth, hung terrible, ere yet the lightnings have leaped forth, like clouds inwoven in the silent sky, by winds from the distant regions meeting there, in the high name of truth and liberty. Around the city millions gathered were, by hopes which sprang from many a hidden lair, words which the lore of truth in hues of flame arrayed. Thine own wild songs, which in the air like homeless odors floated, and the name of thee, and many a tongue which thou hadst dipped in flame. The tyrant knew his power was gone, but fear, the nurse of vengeance, bade him wait the event that perfidy and custom, gold and prayer, and whatsoe'er, when force is impotent, to fraud the scepter of the world has lent, might, as he judged, confirm his failing sway. Therefore, throughout the streets, the priests he sent to curse the rebels. To their gods did they for earthquake, plague, and want kneel in the public way. And grave and hoary men were bribed to tell from seats where law is made, the slave of wrong, how glorious Athens in her splendor fell, because her sons were free, and that among mankind the many to the few belong. By heaven and nature and necessity, they said that age was truth, and that the young, marred with wild hopes, the peace of slavery, with which old times and men had quelled the vain and free. And with the falsehood of their poisonous lips, they breathed on the enduring memory of sages and of bards a brief eclipse. There was one teacher who necessity had armed with strength and wrong against mankind, his slave and his avenger I to be. That we were weak and sinful, frail and blind, and that the will of one was peace, and we should seek for naught on earth but toil and misery. For thus we might avoid the hell hereafter, so spake the hypocrites, who cursed and lied. Alas, their sway was past, and tears and laughter clung to their hoary hair, withering the pride which in their hollow hearts dared still abide. And yet obscener slaves with smoother brow and sneers on their straight lips, thin, blue, and wide, said that the rule of men was over now, and hence the subject world to women's will must bow. And gold was scattered through the streets, and wine flowed at 100 feasts within the hall. In vain. The steady towers in heaven did shine as they were wont, nor at the priestly call left plague her banquet in the Ethiop's hall, nor famine from the rich man's portal came, where at her ease she ever preys on all who throng to kneel for food. Nor fear, nor shame, nor faith, nor discord, dimmed hope's newly kindled flame. For gold was as a god whose faith began to fade, so that its worshippers were few, and faith itself, which in the heart of man gives shape, voice, name to spectral terror, knew its downfall as the altars lonelier grew, till the priests stood alone within the fane. The shafts of falsehood unpolluting flew, and the cold sneers of calumny were vain. The union of the free with discord's brand to slain. The rest thou knowest. Lo, we too are here. We have survived a ruin wide and deep. Strange thoughts are mine. I cannot grieve or fear. Sitting with thee upon this lonely steep, I smile. Though human love should make me weep, we have survived a joy that knows no sorrow, and I do feel a mighty calmness creep over my heart, which can no longer borrow its hues from chance or change. Dark children of tomorrow, we know not what will come, yet lie on, dearest. Cyntha shall be the prophetess of love. Her lips shall rob thee of the grace thou wearest, to hide thy heart and clothe the shapes which rove within the homeless future's wintry grove. For I now, sitting thus beside thee, seem even with thy breath and blood to live and move, and violence and wrong are as a dream which rolls from steadfast truth an unreturning stream. The blasts of autumn drive the winged seeds over the earth. Next come the snows, and rain, and frosts, and storms, which dreary winter leads out of his Scythian cave, a savage train. Behold, spring sweeps over the world again, shedding soft dews from her ethereal wings. Flowers on the mountains, fruits over the plain, and music on the waves and woods she flings, and love on all that lives, and calm on lifeless things. O spring of hope and love and youth and gladness, wind-winged emblem, brightest, best, and fairest, whence comest thou, when with dark winter's sadness, the tears that fade in sunny smiles thou sharest? Sister of joy, thou art the child who wearest thy mother's dying smile, tender and sweet. Thy mother, Autumn, for whose grave thou bearest fresh flowers, and beams like flowers, with gentle feet, disturbing not the leaves which are her winding sheet. Virtue and hope and love, like light and heaven, surround the world. We are their chosen slaves. Has not the whirlwind of our spirit-driven truths, deathless germs, to thought's remotest caves? Lo, winter comes, the grief of many graves, the frost of death, the tempest of the sword, the flood of tyranny, whose sanguine waves stagnate like ice at faith, the enchanter's word, and bind all human hearts in its repose abhorred. The seeds are sleeping in the soil. Meanwhile, the tyrant peoples dungeons with his prey. Pale victims on the guarded scaffold smile, because they cannot speak. And day by day, the moon of wasting science wanes away among her stars. And in that darkness vast, the sons of earth to their foul idols pray, and gray priests triumph, and like blight or blast, a shade of selfish care or human looks is cast. This is the winter of the world, and here we die. Even as the winds of autumn fade, expiring in the frore and foggy air, behold, spring comes, though we must pass, who made the promise of its birth. Even as the shade which from our death, as from a mountain, flings the future, a broad sunrise, thus arrayed as with the plumes of overshadowing wings from its dark gulf of chains, earth like an eagle springs. O dearest love, we shall be dead and cold before this morn may on the world arise. Wouldst thou the glory of its dawn behold? Alas, gaze not on me, but turn thine eyes on thine own heart. It is a paradise which everlasting spring has made its own. And while drear winter fills the naked skies, sweet streams of sunny thought and flowers fresh blown are there, and weave their sounds and odors into one. In their own hearts, the earnest of the hope which made them great, the good will ever find. And though some envious shades may interlope between the effect and it, one comes behind, who aye the future to the past will bind. Necessity, whose sightless strength forever, evil with evil, good with good, must wind in bands of union, which no power may sever. They must bring forth their kind and be divided never. The good and mighty of departed ages are in their graves. The innocent and free, heroes and poets and prevailing sages, who leave the vesture of their majesty to adorn and clothe this naked world. And we are like to them. Such perish, but they leave all hope or love or truth or liberty, whose forms their mighty spirits could conceive, to be a rule and law to ages that survive. So be the turf heaped over our remains, even in our happy youth, and that strange lot, whate'er it be, when in these mingling veins the blood is still, be ours. Let sense and thought pass from our being, or be numbered not among the things that are. Let those who come behind, for whom our steadfast will has brought a calm inheritance, a glorious doom, insult with careless tread our undivided tomb. Our many thoughts and deeds, our life and love, our happiness, and all that we have been, immortally must live, and burn, and move. When we shall be no more, the world has seen a type of peace, and as some most serene and lovely spot to a poor maniac's eye, after long years, some sweet and moving scene of youthful hope, returning suddenly, quells his long madness. Thus man shall remember thee, and calumny, meanwhile, shall feed on us, as worms devour the dead, and near the throne and at the altar, most accepted thus shall sneers and curses be. What we have done, none shall dare vouch, though it be truly known. That record shall remain when they must pass who built their pride on its oblivion. And fame, in human hope which sculptured was, survive the perished scrolls of unenduring brass. And while we too, beloved, must depart, and sense and reason those enchanters fair, whose wand of power is hope, would bid the heart that gazed beyond the wormy grave despair. These eyes, these lips, this blood seems darkly there to fade in hideous ruin. No calm sleep, peopling with golden dreams the stagnant air, seems our obscure and rotting eyes to steep in joy. But senseless death, a ruin dark and deep, these are blind fancies. Reason cannot know what sense can neither feel, nor thought conceive. There is delusion in the world, and woe, and fear, and pain. We know not whence we live, or why, or how, or what mute power may give their being to each plant, and star, and beast, or even these thoughts. Come near me, I do weave a chain I cannot break. I am possessed with thoughts too swift and strong for one lone human breast. Yes, yes, thy kiss is sweet, thy lips are warm. Oh, willingly, beloved, Would these eyes, might they no more drink, being from thy form? Even as to sleep, whence we again arise, close their faint orbs in death. I fear no prize, aught that can now betide, unshared by thee. Yes, love, when wisdom fails, makes Cyntha wise. Darkness and death, if death be true, must be dearer than life and hope, if unenjoyed with thee. Alas, our thoughts flow on with stream, whose waters return not to their fountain. Earth and heaven, the ocean and the sun, the clouds their daughters, winter and spring, and morn, and noon, and even. All that we are or know is darkly driven towards one gulf. Lo, what a change has come since I first spake, but time shall be forgiven, though it change all but thee. She ceased. Night's gloom meanwhile had fallen on earth from the sky's sunless dome. Though she had ceased, her countenance uplifted to heaven, still spake, with solemn glory bright, her dark deep eyes, her lips, whose motions gifted the air they breathed with love, her locks undight. Fair star of life and love, I cried, my soul's delight, why lookest thou on the crystalline skies? Oh, that my spirit were yon heaven of night, which gazes on thee with its thousand eyes. She turned to me and smiled. That smile was paradise.